As we continue to get down to the practicalities of making love, I want you to remember that the past is emotion. That when your words or feelings come from the past, from any moment before now, you are being emotional. You are not straight, not yourself, so you can't be love or make love. Emotion, in fact, is the living substance of the past. The past living on in you. And when you feel emotional, such as when you're resentful or depressed, you are feeling that substance and are that substance, that past, which is not the you that is here now listening to me in the present. The past, the excitable emotion trying to come back to live, takes you over, uses you. Also, please remember that the substance of every past sexual desire you have had since your teens has lodged and accumulated in your genitals, or that part of the brain controlling them. It gathers there as unsuspected tension. In women, this tension manifests as a subtle tightness in the vagina. In man, as a hardening of the penis, expressing itself as involuntary erections during the day or night. In both sexes, this genital tension causes practically all the restlessness, heaviness, and discontent. An emotional vagina, which is every vagina until it is made emotionless or pastless by being loved beautifully and desirelessly, is imperceptibly stiff, muscly, expectant, self-guarding, narrowly receptive, and tense. A vagina used by numerous emotional penises starts to react like the penises themselves, becoming hard, greedy, and predatory. It concentrates on orgasm, not love. While being freed of emotion by a penis developing in love and consciousness, the vagina becomes yielding, soft, giving, simple, easy, undemanding, and still. The female organ of love is essentially passive and innocent. It learns all its bad habits from the male. The penis is the guru or teacher of the vagina, for better or for worse. During intercourse, a vagina made hungry by wrong penises generates very little awareness of love for the woman herself, because the consciousness or pleasure engendered is based on temporary emotional satisfaction. This causes her deep inner unhappiness. Whether or not she is promiscuous, which is only a desperate search for love, is irrelevant. The vagina responds according to the energy of that which has previously entered it or informed it. Contact with a penis purified of emotion, or even one beginning to be purified, starts the purifying process in the vagina. Even a virgin vagina today is relatively tense with personal past or emotion. This comes from the girl's sexual or emotional imaginings and related experience, which may include masturbation and male fingering. Here too, as soon as the virgin is pleasurably penetrated by the penis, that is, when the pain of entry which keeps her temporarily in the present ceases, she will use this pleasant feeling to dream off into those old imaginings and emotions and fail to stay with the wonder of the love being made by her vagina in the present. The virgin vagina's basic tension, however, is due to ignorance of love. Once, when time and the human race were very young, each virgin woman understood love because she was love. There was no ignorance of love in her consciousness, as there was no emotion in her vagina. Her lack of physical experience did not cause tension, because she understood love before having to make it, something we can't conceive of today. She was free of the emotion or ignorance of the unreal imaginings of love which all virgins today indulge in. Virgins today automatically speculate or fantasize about love because they no longer understand love or themselves. Also, there have been no real teachers, gurus, on earth to tell them and instruct them before they received the wrong impression through physical experience. With no understanding of love, virgins start imagining what physical love is, and that generates vaginal emotion, tension, or hysteria. Today, with so much racial past or time in the human body, the girl's vagina at birth is already potentially emotional. After puberty, when the virgin vagina is entered, informed or energized by an emotional penis, the girl's emotional potential is actualized, and then follow the usual predictable love problems between her and man. In love without emotion, there are no love problems between man and woman. You must understand the penis and vagina spiritually. Both are spiritual organs, and together are the means of all love on earth. If love is God, if love is our own godhood or the excellence of life, then the penis and the vagina are the means of that excellence. Every man and woman, every perception of love and beauty on the earth arises from the union of the penis and the vagina. Homosexual love, like all love, is an attempt to get back to the divine state where the male and female principles themselves are united, the state of union that transcends persons and personal love. The penis is the finest perceptive organ and instrument in the male body. It has a consciousness and awareness of its own. It is the positive, active organ of love on earth. It knows exactly how to make love and what to do inside the vagina. To make love properly, man has to learn to be his penis during the act, to surrender to its greater intelligence. At present, he forces his inferior, sex-obsessed emotional intelligence onto it, with the result that the penis cannot do the job it's supposed to. Occasionally, however, in normal mating, the penis consciousness is able to take over, and the lovemaking is surprisingly good and right. But that is the exception. Most times, because the penis is used as an instrument of gratification for the man's sex obsession or emotional aggression and the woman's self-forgetfulness, the lovemaking ranges from satisfactory to mediocre through to a non-event or a disaster. The vaginal cavity represents the emptiness in woman, her eternal racial longing to be filled with love. The penis stands for the only love that can fill it, and until the penis is there, man and woman cannot be content. The penis inside the vagina symbolizes the filling of the enormous gap that has developed in time between the two sexes, the gap that created the world and through which the world continues to come into birth. The vaginal channel into existence is then theoretically sealed. The cavity and its missing mass have found each other and are complete. Existence as the search for union by the two male and female wanderers is no longer necessary. But life as birth and death goes on. Even in union, the penis and vagina are doomed to separate. For above the place of union is the womb and will of creation. The womb or will is the source of existence, and it will not allow man or woman to rest for long together on the face of the earth. The womb or will can never be filled in peace as the vagina can, for the womb demands birth and existence, not rest. So even as man and woman, the penis and the vagina, find rest and completion in each other, the womb above sucks into itself the seeds of life, and another restless missing part, another penis or a vagina, is born. The penis is happy only when erected inside the vaginal emptiness of woman. When erected in the emptiness of space outside the vagina, the penis is impatient, excitable, and emotional. In this unnatural state, it is naturally regarded by society as obscene, and often by both sexes as threatening. This is because the penis erected outside its natural vaginal home is a projection of aggressive emotion or imagination, and for any man such an erection is demanding and discomforting. Frequently, he will have to masturbate to release the pressure of its misplaced, lonely existence. If woman's basic nature is love, what has happened to her? Why is she so often confused and unloving? How exactly does she contribute to her lover's premature ejaculation and to his impotence, his inability to get an erection? For she does that too. Over the millennia, man with his penis has gradually made woman sexually like himself. He has induced in her a male-like sexual emotionality, an alien sexual personality, that she can no longer distinguish from herself. Instead of remaining the pure and serene, passive negative female principle of love, under his sexual tutelage, she has assumed a partial, positive, active male stance, completely opposed to her true nature. Underneath, she remains pure woman, pure love, if she can reach down that far to her true self. But in her surface sexual projections, she is now part male. One result of this is that in the lead up to lovemaking, her male emotionality gets excited like his. The immediate effect on her is negligible, but on him, it is electric. As soon as his penis makes contact with her body, these highly charged male vibrations rush from her to him as a wave of excitement, and he ejaculates prematurely. The other male problem, impotence, not being able to get an erection, is caused by lack of love or consciousness on the woman's part as well as the man's. Both partners are to blame. Behind this, there is a crucial fact to remember. The penis is either erected by emotion or by love. Without emotion or love, it will not get erected. This often happens when couples become physically bored with each other and have intercourse out of a sense of duty. If there is no emotional drive as well as no love, no consciousness between them at that time, the man will not be able to get an erection. But if he has emotional drive yet no love, he will have no trouble getting an erection. An emotional penis doesn't need love to have sex, as every woman knows. But it will probably be a one-sided affair. The penis gets erected emotionally to gratify itself, to release the pent-up sexual desire or aggression arising from the man's imaginative obsession with sex. If the woman can get herself in the same condition of mind, and she can due to her artificial male side, they are able to gratify each other. But it won't be love. Impotence does not exist in the sense of being a sign of masculine deterioration or deficiency. Many healthy young men suffer from impotence. Nor is it psychological in the way that doctors explain it. Impotence is caused only by lack of emotion or love. So when a man gets older and living has knocked some of the emotional excitement out of him, and because by then in lovemaking there is so often no love in his body or the woman's, he is more likely to be unable to get an erection. Impotence or non-erection is the natural state of the penis outside the vagina. It is emotion or sexual aggression, not love, that forces an erection outside the vagina. A penis responsive to love alone only gets fully erected inside the vagina or just before entering it. This is because a loving penis gets erected purely to perform the job the penis was created for, to make love. And that is done inside the vagina, not outside in some imagined woman or mind-induced condition of excitement. A loving vagina has no difficulty admitting a loosely full loving penis, which will then immediately become firmly and authoritatively erected for the purpose of love. However, and this can be important for the man endeavoring to purify himself, a pure and loving penis is not able to get an erection if there is no love or insufficient love in the woman's vagina at that moment. That is, if she is dreaming off, emotionally distracted, or sexually demanding. Such a man does not use the imagination as other men do. The loving man finds the moment, the present, the woman he is with, sufficient stimulus. Purity of love is to be beyond the need of imaginative images and devices which emotional sex requires. Woman has learned to make love through man who does not know how to make love. The result is chaos and confusion. Since time began, she has been manipulated and encouraged to feel that the finest expression of her love is to please him sexually. The truth is the other way round. The finest expression of love is for man to delight her sexually. This he can only do when he can forget his preoccupation with orgasm and be sufficiently present in love or selflessness to collect and receive her divine energies, the finest expression of her love. By teaching her to please him and satisfy him down through the ages, he has taught her to desire him, to project herself sexually. This leads her to choose the man she wants. Desire and choice arise from male emotionality, the active, outgoing principle which made the world what it is. So she chooses her man with her male-induced vibrations, and almost invariably, it's the wrong guy. Woman, as her true self, does not desire man. She doesn't need to. She is the passive, attracting principle. As her true self, she is like an irresistible living magnet that without choice or error draws to herself the right man who will love her truly and divinely. Unlike man, woman in her true self can exist without sexual intercourse or masturbation. She waits for love, not sex. Babies have long been her racial substitute for love in sex. The only reason why she started to go off into a dream in lovemaking in the first place was to escape his growing lack of love. Woman only lusts for man when she identifies with her enforced male emotionality. Nymphomania is an all-male invention and projection, like sex shops, pornography, and prostitution. The lack of love and male emotionality shared by all concerned keeps them going. Woman has been utterly sexually fooled by man, pathologically brainwashed. And today, as she congratulates herself on progress in breaking down male domination in the world, she fails to perceive that he has got her as well and truly hooked as ever on his orgasmic and clitoral substitute for lovemaking. Love, not equality, is what her external feminist protests are about. Male domination began in sex, and in sex it continues unabated. It is man's world, and he built it on the strength of sexual aggression. But woman cannot alter her position by merely withdrawing from sex or by using other devices. She has tried them all down through the centuries, and none has worked and none will. The problem is now racial, beyond the personal scope of those involved to solve it. Only divine action or consciousness can help. Let me ask you, the women listening now, have you any idea how to free yourself from male sexual domination? How to bring real love back into your life? How to make your man and yourself start to love? To truly make love as something tangible that you can actually create together and build on as long as you both are together? Have you? If you have, please say it. Say it now out loud or to someone before I tell you. Say it now before you are tempted after I speak to say you knew it all the time. Because if you do say that afterwards, you can forget it. You aren't going to change. You aren't going to make love. To bring love into your sexual life, you are going to need a lot of new energy. That energy starts with honesty. Honesty to yourself and to life, which is endeavoring to help you. First, you must hear yourself admit that your love life is not good enough. You must verbalize it. Say it. Hear it so that there is no hiding, no psychological escaping. It is not enough just to know it inside. That's how love dies between lovers. They think it's enough to know they love inside and not to say it anymore. Then when it's too late, they sob and scream out their love. But the door's already slammed. The house is empty. You must say it now, so that your whole being hears it. Second, if you are seeing the truth of what I have said about love, you must declare to yourself that it is true. Third, you must admit to yourself that you personally don't know what to do about the problem, that you are powerless outside of taking all the old actions that human beings in their desperation and despair have taken quite unsuccessfully since man and woman first fell in love and time or emotion started to come between them. Be honest. If you already know the answer, why haven't you done it? And if you have the answer, why are you listening to this tape? It is true that once you, both man and woman, knew how to make love. If you are hearing the truth of what I am saying, it means not only that you are ready to remember again, but that you have already actually started to remember. And if, as I go on, you continue to verbally acknowledge the truth of it, so that your body or some other body hears your earnestness and humility, sufficient energy will be there in you to make a practical start. Such honesty and self-knowledge generates passion. Passion is the power of love and true commitment. Passion is the only energy powerful enough to do the job. It's not going to be easy. You will need every bit of strength and self-knowledge in your being. Remembering and acknowledging the truth as you hear it is one thing. Living it, or putting it into practice, is the next. The living of it, of course, is what really counts, and that's hard. Nevertheless, if you have the courage, the self-honesty, and want your freedom, your love, I will guide you into living it. Please ask yourself those questions again. Is your love life good enough? Is what I have said so far the truth, or does it have the ring of truth in it? Can you yourself, through your own knowledge or effort, solve the problem? Do you need help? Examine this last question closely. If the answer is yes, say yes, I need help. Admit you can't do it alone. For when you give up, when you truly surrender in humility, help is always there within you. And then it appears outside you. Keep asking yourself these questions each time you listen to these tapes. Reaffirm the energy of honesty and true need. And as you put what I tell you into practice and see it working, acknowledge the truth of it. Keep the passion flowing with gratitude to love and life. Otherwise, you will gradually forget what you have heard and practiced, give up the fight, and slip back into the vicious circle where nothing can be done. To start to make divine love again, you must first learn how to rid yourself of the past. You must unlearn or discard all you have already gathered emotionally. If you have had a broken love affair in the past, or a bad sexual experience, that emotion will still be in you, especially if you are a woman. If you are a man and you study pornographic magazines or sexually suggestive pictures, that emotion is there inside you now, waiting to erupt and take you over as excitement and premature ejaculation at the first sexual opportunity. We are all sexually loaded, ready to go off emotionally as soon as intercourse is a possibility. But of course we can't possibly name or know all our past experiences associated with sexual emotion stretching back to childhood. They have all coalesced into one deep, dark complex that is far too complicated and obscure for us to ever define. So how do we start? What do we do? We remove all the emotions from ourselves in our approach to lovemaking. We have to make love without any excitement, any expectation, any imagination. We have to be very much ourselves, very present, very aware, and conscious of everything we do as we come together. In what follows, I'm going to assume you have an intelligent partner who has listened with you to the two tapes, and that you're both committed to endeavoring to make love in this new way. Also, that you have decided to follow the instructions, adapting them sensibly to your own particular situation, and not to give up, no matter how hard things get, or how often you appear to fail. Keep a sense of greater purpose. Remember, you must make love frequently, as often as you can, for only by making love, or endeavoring to, can you make love. the less you make love, the more you grow apart. Further, you are going to be making love without emotion or imagination. The purpose of this is to get your habitual selves out of the action, for you to learn to leave it to the two bodies. At first, the lovemaking may seem strange, even cold. You might not get the idea at the first attempt, or you might. If you do, you will have a setback sooner or later, as emotion will come in. But don't be discouraged. Persevere. Keep going. Keep loving. The connection will return, or it will come suddenly and then fade out again as you go through another wave of separating emotion. You can't rid yourself of all the past at once, or even in a few weeks. You actually have to work at it for the rest of your life. But all the time, you will be making more love and becoming a more loving and conscious human being. Some of these emotional periods may last several days. During them, you may even tend to dislike each other. Lovemaking can seem impossible. Try when you can, though. Don't allow too long a gap. If, however, the emotion in either or both of you is too great to allow straightness or love, break off and try again next day. But I repeat, make love. Don't make excuses. Put the bodies together and see. Understand that in the lead-up to lovemaking and in the lovemaking act itself, you must have no thoughts or decisions independent of each other. Everything is to be done together and discussed and observed together as you do it. No long silences. You must converse and verbalize constantly, expressing what you are feeling as your body sensations. When you feel pleasure, say it. Say, "That is lovely," if it is. Say what you actually feel, not what you think. You are not supposed to be thinking. You are supposed to be being. That means looking inside your body at what it is feeling, not at what you are thinking. Communicate in words. This alone will keep you conscious and present in front of each other. Don't spread yourselves around sexually. Keep to the one partner once you find one. Emotional partners who are not committed will weaken you and make you lose faith. Conserve the energy. It is precious. Committed partners will not be easy to find. If you are currently without a partner, my advice is to only make love where there is enough love to begin with, and not just for emotional gratification or satisfaction on either side. Otherwise, wait. If you meet someone and begin to like each other, be straight with them right from the start. Tell them the truth, that you are endeavoring to love and raise your consciousness through love. Take responsibility. Talk about what it involves. Play them the tapes. If you are serious and earnest about loving, you will eventually draw to yourself a person who will share the start of this great adventure with you. If the partnership ends after a while, nothing is really lost. You will have both gained in love and consciousness, and be that much more loving and straight the next time. The important thing, especially for women, be vulnerable to love, but to steer clear of emotion. You know the difference now. Don't cut yourself off because you've been hurt. Be brave for love. Turn outward. Love will help you. Don't let fear harden you. It was emotion and lack of love that hurt on both sides. It's past. Let it go. Now that you are beginning to understand what making love is about, You have the simple answer and the simplest protection of all. Only make love, where there is love enough to be straight and present with each other right from the start. And don't fall in love. Falling in love is closing your eyes, shutting off your beautiful consciousness, and tripping off in dreamland while you are awake. It is bound to end in disaster, because you will be in imagination and not see what is going on. But be in love. Always be in love when you are in love. For to be in love and to keep love always fresh and new requires tremendous awareness, tremendous presence of the kind that I have been describing in these tapes. Be in love in this way, and your love will not end, for love has no end. Fall in love, and your love will end.